You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all breaking.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast, where Southall is the last man standing on the racing front. It's the only UK meeting to survive the cold snap at present on Sunday. Hopefully we'll get that meeting ahead and you can listen to all of the action from the one remaining card from 2:05 p.m. on Racing Radio on Sunday. Sam Norris here, joined by James Millman to take a look ahead to the action on Sunday's podcast. And usually when we're recording a podcast on a Saturday, James, we'd hold off until the big race of the day has been run, but we're bereft in terms of turf racing, and it's down to your weather to carry the baton on Saturday on ITV main channel as well, which must be slightly galling that they've not been able to get the big meetings on at Doncaster and Newbury.
To be fair, I think they're doing a Cheltenham preview most of the day as well, so right. They're kind of
a bit like Racing Radio at the moment.
Exactly, a little warm up for Cheltenham itself. But like I said, they will be disappointed. No disrespect, but all weather racing in the midwinter isn't really their bag. But it's good racing today, to be fair, at Lingfield for this time of year. But like I say, it's not really what the ITV main cameras are expecting. But again, at least they've got some sport, and we've got some sport to consider as well. Sounds come to save you.
Yeah, indeed. A couple of nice races on the card, to be fair, at Lingfield. It's caused a little bit of debate, the fact that they've been getting these meetings on, particularly on Twitter, James. I don't know if you saw over the week.
Oh, a lot of whinging, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. What did you make of all that? I think certainly from my perspective, if it's safe enough to race and if connections and horses can get to the track, I don't see too much harm in it. But it rubbed a lot of people up the wrong way, the fact that they were still hosting these meetings with conditions up and down the country, obviously pretty tricky.
It was generally the trainers that are in Lambourne and Newmarket that started having a bit of a fit that racing was going on, and it was going to be a nice day for the northern trainers that could get there. There was basically three trainers that had runners yesterday at Sunny Savile: Brian Ellison, Donna McCain and Phil Kirby, and a few other ones. But they've lost a lot of meetings in the north, and there's not been much whinging there. If they were able to get out, they're not going to overly risk it. Ultimately, everyone trains in different locations, so some people are going to be get there. As long as the race course itself was safe, which was what it was, that is the main thing. It's a tricky one. Should we shut down racing? But some parts of the country didn't get a great deal of snow, and like I say, they were able to get out, no problems at all. I remember when I was riding, I used to drive the horse box quite a bit, and driving a horse box in snow is not much fun. I remember riding it at Lingfield once, and the snow was coming in, so when we were heading home on the M25, the old horse box started sliding, and that wasn't a nice experience when you got a half a kilo of horse in the back of the lorry, and obviously you got a stable staff with you as well. So it isn't nice, and you could say we have a blanket ban, but the show goes on, and there's a lot of people employed in the industry that need meetings on. So it's a tough one. I think as long as it's safe to get to the racetrack, it's up to the trainers to make a decision whether they risk it. And obviously, a lot of horses that were in Lambourne area, so they were never going to get out, and then they were obviously automatically non-runners. But like I say, Donna McCain, etc., they had a clear run down. There was no issue, no safety issues, and away you go. So it is a tough one, but for me, I think they made the right decision, and like I say, it's good to have racing on the road.
Yeah, like everything in this game as well, it wouldn't be racing if people weren't arguing about.
No, we love to argue in racing. Everyone's got an opinion.
Indeed.
But generally, when those in the bigger centres, something happens to them, it's the end of the world, and they are the centre of the universe, whereas there's also racing outside of those centres as well.
Yes.
So I think, I'll say they just look after themselves a little bit, I think.
Yes, quite. On the subject of Twitter, just looking ahead to Cheltenham, there's been murmurings on Twitter.
People have been bored, haven't they? They've had a few days look at the old Cheltenham a bit more in-depth.
Yes, this could have just come from nowhere as well, but there's been a few whispers on Twitter that Faheem might potentially be trialling cheek pieces ahead of the champion hurdle. At 10 years old, and given the career that he's had, some I think is a little bit of an odd move to reach for the cheek pieces at this stage of his career. Is it likely to elicit any improvements out of a multiple Grade 1 winner who's 10 years old?
Possibly, but you say he is 10, isn't he? We forget that. He's missed quite a bit of time off. And for me, cheek pieces was quite a good tool to put on the older horses just to wake them up a little bit. It's a lot less severe than blinkers. And as for me, I never rode a horse who didn't face the cheek pieces and was too keen or not keen enough as such.
They I think it detrimental.
Exactly. Yeah. I would never worry about it, whereas blinkers can sometimes just set a horse completely alight and they run far too keen and completely blow out a race. But the Faheem we saw at the Dublin Festival is not going to beat Bivvy there. Mm. Yet, at the yard, I think there's still hope that he's working well. So I wouldn't disagree putting cheek pieces on a horse who has just perhaps lost that form a little bit. Obviously, he's had absences to overcome as well. And I would see it as a positive for me. I certainly wouldn't be against it. Obviously, Bivvy there, what have we learned this year? Absolutely nothing, because he's had a little hat canter in free contests, especially last time, and Nicky's whinging that he's not had a race. But again, you whinge, Nicky. There was a race over in Ireland that you could have gone for. You could have taken off the Heen. You could have had a little bit more of a race. But no. You wanted to stay at home, and then you moaned that it was too easy. So that annoys me when he whinges like that, because he did have an option to go over the water. Didn't take it. But he might be right to be moaning, because he's not had a hard race this year. He's not the easiest horse to keep at peak conditions. He has had quite a bit of racing in the past, and he perhaps could be a little bit undercooked just because of the nature. He's not had a hard race all season. So I'll say Nicky's fault he didn't have a hard race, because he could have gone elsewhere. But for those who are looking to oppose him, that could be an angle. And I say, if I put in headgear on Faheem, I could see it getting him a little bit of improvement. I certainly wouldn't see it as a negative.
Yeah, it's interesting what you mentioned about the cheek pieces there. There's no downside, if you like, from the cheek pieces. Yeah. They'll either have no effect or a positive effect. They're unlikely to...
So I've probably read about one horse that I thought affected heavily, and it could have been another factor that affected. Normally, for us, we'd use it as a slight aid to improve performance. Blinkers was more of a much more severe resort because they've been lazy and not wanting to go. I don't think he's been lazy, but he is just that little bit older now, and it might just be a little bit of change and spark a bit of improvement that he needs. But I'll say William Mullins is a master trainer, and no surprise he's looking at different angles.
Yeah, just rumour and speculation on social media at present, but it may well be that the cheap pieces do come on for Faheem's champion hurdle bid come March time. Bets at the festival, James, in your opinion, have you placed any bets yet? Or have you got
Nothing's left my wallet yet for the festival. Indeed. Not surprising.
Fancies then.
But I've got a couple of fancies. I'm annoyed I didn't back Foot Pal when I saw him win on debut, because he was foot perfect. Was Foot Pal over fences. He's a natural. He very economical, very quick. Touch wood, very safe at the moment as well. And he's just a much better chase than what he was hurdle, just because of the way he jumps, which is just pretty spectacular to see. There are a few question marks, obviously. The undulation of Cheltenham, and perhaps he wasn't quite as good last year, or quicker ground. I know you're a fool next to me, but you are keen to oppose him.
Yeah, I like Petit Mouchoir.
Oh, no chance. Never going to reverse that form. Was it 5 lengths between them last time out?
It was, but that was Petit Mouchoir's first run for a good while. Beat him comfortably. I know it was over hurdles, so it was not an exact science, in the champion hurdle last year at Cheltenham. And I wasn't wholly convinced Footpad quite climbed a hill sufficiently for my liking at Cheltenham last year. There's too many question marks for me to want to take that short of a price about him.
You could argue that, and Ruby Walsh is back on board at Cheltenham. I've just been very, very impressed with his jumping. I just think he is a natural. I mean, when he got that one slightly below par run in the champion hurdle last year, but I just think the way he jumps could make up for it. But no, it's a valid point you make about the hill and the better ground, but I just think he's such a better chaser than what he is a hurdler.
Yeah, that could well be the case. It's shaping up to be a pretty good Arkle as well, James.
We've
got an odds on favourite in Footpad, but there's strength in depth in the race.
I think he might actually go off a bigger price on the day, because there's a lot of fools like yourself that are wanting to oppose him. And St. Calvados has obviously created a really good impression as well. Harry Whittington's individual. Again, I think the British chasers are a lot weaker than those across the water, but he destroyed him at Warwick last time. For him, the ground would be a concern because all his form is on a very much a heavy ground surface, but he hasn't really had many opportunities on a quicker surface. But I do think that a foot pad would be my idea of the Cheltenham Festival Banker.
Well, we're still a few weeks, well, a couple of weeks away from the festival, of course, but there's getting now to be reason to suggest that the cold weather we've been having, it might play, it might have some sort of an effect on the ground at Cheltenham. We usually just assume good to soft conditions because that's usually what is produced, but we're not that far away from the festival that this recent cold snap could have some sort of a say on the ground, which would play havoc with anyone's anti-post bets if they were working under the assumption it's going to be good to soft.
Yeah, never work on the assumption with British weather. Yeah, but I think the cloud, of course, before the snow came, it was drying out a little bit too quick.
Right, okay.
I think it was already good to soft then, so he seemed quite happy with the bit of snow coverage that they've got. Temperatures are rising pretty rapidly. I think it's 7 degrees tomorrow, then 9, 10 onwards. So that's going to fall pretty quickly. And there's a lot of rain forecast, actually. There's, looking at the BBC weather forecast, there's a lot of rain showers coming in. How accurate that is, obviously, with long distance, it's hard to know. But we could see it a little bit easier than perhaps what we've had in recent years, because there's quite a bit of fall, and obviously it's going to protect it as well. So it'll be interesting. I think it's not going to be rattling quick, put it that way. But this time of year, or Cheltenham time of year, in a couple of weeks, longer days, bit of sunshine, that's when it dries out very, very quickly, and Cheltenham drains too well for me. That it won't take long to dry out and be watering, dare we say it.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you'd like at the festival before we turn our attention on to Sunday's racing? No doubt you'll be asked this question on Racing Radio, given the fact that we're lacking in racing on Saturday. But for those who missed the show...
Yeah, Native River would be my other option. Okay. I'm really impressed with his comeback. I know people are saying he only beat two horses, but the nature, the way he did it, I was impressed with. And he's had a lot lighter campaign this year than last year. Obviously, he had a pretty hard Hennessy Welsh National, and then he obviously won the Denman and finished third at Cheltenham. A few question marks is that both festivals he's got beat, a little bit like footpad. Is he as effective at Cheltenham as what he is elsewhere? But for me, Chepstow's got the undulations in the Welsh National. Obviously, he handled those perfectly fine. He might just have had hard seasons up to that point, whereas this year, complete opposite. You know he's going to get up the hill again. Might bite is a complete question mark with that. What wayward tendencies he's going to show, whether he's going to be straightforward. And like I said, I was just impressed. Again, softer ground would be in Native River's favour, but normally, talking about historical trends, the Friday can actually be a bit of soft ground because a bit of rain on it actually goes soft quite quick again. So, like I say, it'd be interesting to see what happens. But Native River, I thought, eye-catching comeback, lightly raced this year, he could be the one for me.
It's interesting as well that Colin Tizard mentioned that if you look back through his career, very often his second run of the season has been one of his best. He's often been a horse that has improved drastically for his first run of the season as well. And it's the first time this year that he's won first time out for a good while. It was an easier race than he has encountered. But certainly, historically, there's always improvement from first run of the season to second run of the season.
Yeah, definitely. And his team are in much better form as well now. So fascinating to see how he gets on. I just think he's had the perfect campaign for him for the Gold Cup. I might say he won some real strong races last year, but he had some tough races, whereas this year he's a fresh horse, and that might just make the difference.
It could well do. Let's look ahead to Sunday's racing. Southall is the only surviving meeting on Sunday, as we head there for a couple of races, beginning with the 350. This is a 7-furlong handicap, where the dead eight runners are lining up at the time of recording. And you're with the only last time out winning the field, James.
Yeah, 5% form, we say it time and time again. May not be saying it for much longer if the rumours are correct, but you've got to have form in the 5%, really. And this one is in really, really good form. Won 5 races between 6 and 7 furlongs at Southall. Only poor run this winter was when he ran out of grade in a really competitive Class 5 handicap where he was at the handicap and just struggled against better class horses. There's not any of that ilk in here today. Beat Commander Kirkup, who's been in good form last time out. That was a good effort. Scott Dixon's team remains in pretty good form. And Best Tamayoos has an obvious chance in what looks to be a pretty weak race. African Trader was where horse that got mixed up with Evan Furtado on his first run at the track. Interesting to see how he gets on. I don't really like win, lose, or draw because he can completely blow the race at the start on occasions. That would be a little bit of a concern for me at Serval. If he misses a break, getting kicked back in his face, he may not like that. Wild Oscar would be the main danger. The 3-year-old's had the 3 runs, handicap debut. We don't know a lot about him. And Paul Hannigan's an interesting jockey booking. But Best Tamayoos, you know what you're going to get with that one. Very, very consistent. Generally gets the job done. And that several form is key. So Best Tamayoos has an excellent chance tomorrow.
best time I used then the choice in the 350, the only one to have won at Southall before, gets the call in that race. On to the 420 then, stays in action here, racing over the extended 2 miles and two furlongs. This is a handicap, six of them are lining up. And in terms of this trip on the all-weather, James, it's not something that we've had a chance to see all that often. This is an extreme distance on the artificial surface.
Yeah, 2 mile, two furlong, although actually we saw it yesterday. I think there might have been a bumper run at a distance. But Cousin Knee won at this distance last time out, when I think it was the first race run for about 4 years, I think, over it, under flat rules. And he just kept on going, didn't he? He's 11-year-old now. Obviously, he's not getting any faster, but he loves the surface. A lot of Hugh Morrison's go well here. Back in the day, Kilkenny was an old favourite that ran multiple, or won multiple races at Sunny Southall. And Cousin Knee could be a similar type running in the Morrison colours. Obviously faces some interesting rivals. Western Way has had a good spell winning at Chelmsford in Kempton, but again, is he going to be as effective on the 5% at Southall? Perhaps not. Mambo Dancer, again, no wins at Southall. That could be a concern for that one. And the ones that have got Southall form are a little bit disappointing. So I do think that Cousin Knee, that win over 2 mile, two furlongs, is key, because we don't really see races run at that extreme distance on the flat that often. And he seemed to really enjoy it, the 11-year-old last time. Gets on well with Theodore Ladd. 7 mile claim, he's had a couple of winners this year. I think he's attached to Huey's Yard. And Cousin Knee looks to have an obvious chance. And what's a real valuable race, actually. 14,500 added for a class four contests. That's a very interesting race.
Cousin Key then the choice in that 420 race at Southall. Just remind us please then, James, one more time, you're two to follow on what's going to be a quiet Sunday's racing.
It's a quiet day, but at least we've got some racing, and as long as the weather keeps on hold, we should be okay. But I've got a couple of Southall specialists who love the track. Best time he is in the 350 this year has been extremely consistent, and he can add to his five career wins at the track. And then Cousin Knee in the 420, one over this extreme 2 mile, two furlongs the last time out. Really enjoyed the extended distance and can win again on the field or lad.
Great stuff, James Wilmer's thoughts ahead of the action on Sunday. And you can join James on Racing Radio from 2:05 p.m. in the company of Jason Thornton and John Budden for all of the action at Southall. Thank you for that, James, and best of luck.
No worries.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.